Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. When aggression occurs among dogs or cats living in the same household, as with all behaviors, context is everything. A common feature of context often missed involves those changes that normally may occur between animals and their environments as the animals get older. Two related factors may contribute to this oversight. The tendency to perceive animals of the same species as brothers and sisters may lead to a more anthropomorphic view of the animals. This projected view of human kinship also may be a highly idealized one. When the canine or feline littermate starts seriously snarking at each other, any owner illusions of eternal inner dog or inner cat love and harmony may fly along with any fur. Canine or feline housemates of different ages and backgrounds may make the brother-sister view even less valid. Little or no knowledge of ethology also makes it easier to miss the normal changes that occur between animals and their environments as they get older. When that's the case, the eruption of a high-energy dog fight in the middle of what human family members and visitors considered the dog's normal, deliriously happy greeting horrifies everyone. Previous Garden of Eden images give way to those of siblings offing each other for what their people perceive as no reason at all. Let's look at some more examples, starting with one of the most traumatic for owners, but normal for cat situations that may arise when cats mature. Cain and Abel, two cats from strong, free-roaming predatory backgrounds, got along smashingly well as kittens. They spent most of their waking hours playing with each other, with periodic breaks for food and naps during which they slept in a fraternal pile. But when they hit maturity, and despite their neutered status, Cain wanted Abel gone. Littermate or not, he no longer wanted to share what he considered his house and anything in it with Abel or any cat. Welcome to my world with Bamboo and my cats for the past 20 years in this little house on the hill. I can fill the house with dogs, fish, birds, people, and whatever other animals I want. But all of these cats of strong, solitary origins made it clear that no other cats were allowed. In a second scenario, two cats raised together as kittens maintain a more social relationship as adults. In this, the more confident of the two assumes the territorial protective role. When all is quiet in and around their home, the cats get along fine. But if something challenges the security of the territory, such as increased activity in the free-roaming domestic or wild animal population, or road repairs in front of the house, the feline protector may attack the other cat. So-called displaced aggression enables these cats to safely and quickly vent all of the stress hormones that otherwise might undermine their health. Although target cats initially are surprised by this behavior, most quickly learn to read the signs of an impending meltdown, and they retreat between the legs of a chair or to another secure location that protects them from all but a few swats and a stream of shrieking feline profanity. Unless people who don't understand what's going on jump into the middle of it. In that case, Things can get nasty for cats and humans alike. Dogs also may perceive other dogs in the household differently as they mature. Because social structures are dynamic, it's normal for the more fit among them to attempt to displace older, less fit animals. How much energy goes into these displays depends on what's to be gained. As you might expect, if the dogs claim the people in the household, these situations can be a lot more serious than if only first access to a toy or the sunniest spot to sleep is the prize. But when people expect social structures to remain static, with their dogs assuming positions that emotionally appeal to those folks, the fact that the dogs have their own agenda can come as quite a shock. Consider Joe and Mary Doe, who projected their Garden of Eden views of their dogs from the day each dog entered their household as a puppy. Every time the pups engaged in play the does considered too rough, they separated them. As the dogs matured and the stakes for proving rank evolved from stuffed toys to possession of the owners, the fights became more energy intense and wounds became more common. Nonetheless, the does remained adamant. "Brothers shouldn't fight," they said. "We can't allow them to do that because it's morally wrong." In this situation, not only did the owners perceive their dogs as people, they expected the animals to abide by a complex moral philosophy that philosophers and theologians have been trying to reconcile with reality for centuries. Another variation on the static social structure theme attempts to keep a particular dog at the top. Sometimes this is the oldest dog. Other times, a dog might be favored for some purely emotional reason. For example, when Liz and her dog move in with Leslie and hers, Leslie wants her dog to be top dog simply because he was there first. In this situation, a great deal of effort may go into rituals that supposedly elevate one dog while demoting the other. These include things like always greeting, feeding, petting Matisse before Rembrandt, and letting Matisse bolt through the door first, and having all kinds of other special privileges to prove his superiority. Or so this kind of thinking goes. Sometimes it works, but other times the artificial structure and the stress it imposes on both dogs reaches its tipping point, and stress-related behavioral or medical problems arise. The final canine example is the most common one. The assignment of rank is a function of the amount of energy dogs put into their protective displays. According to this school of thought, the more noise Tintoretto makes when a strange car drives up the driveway, the more dominant or alpha she is. Likewise, if she steals food and toys from the other dogs in the household. But the fact that she must use so much energy tells us that she lacks the wherewithal to handle the protective role. Consequently, attempts to keep her in it will increase her stress. So spend some time thinking about and observing your cats or dogs as a group as well as individuals. See their interactions as dynamic, part of the ever-changing physical and mental fabric of living with you and each other. Eliminate emotionally charged words like brother, sister, baby, alpha, or dominant that may impose unnatural roles on certain animals. By training ourselves to see our dogs and cats and their interactions as they are, instead of as we want them to be, we can relieve any stress that accompanies those behavioral transitions that are bound to occur in every animal's life.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.